have your Bibles, you would turn with us to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Book of Joshua, chapter 2. Seems that a few weeks ago, my wife, she came to me and she said, there's a room in our house that's looking kind of shabby, and we need to do a little painting on it. And so we started doing a little painting there. I think it was Luke's room. And I say we started doing a little painting in there. And by the time we finished doing a little painting in there, she said, well, you know what? Now that you finished that, the hall looks awful bad. So we painted the hall and finished painting the hall. When I finished painting the hall, she said, you know, the stairwell looks pretty bad now. I had to go paint the stairwell. Then she said, now the bathroom looks bad. I had to go paint the bathroom. It's amazing how that one project led to another project, which led to another and another, and I'm real worried because there's two other rooms still attached to that, and I know what's coming after the Christmas season's over. Amen? And I say that to say this. There was a man, he went by a shop. He was a rough, burly man, had no appreciation for much things upon this earth, but he saw a beautiful picture that he liked in the art shop, at least in their gallery window there. And he watched that thing for months, and he admired it very much and began to save his money, and he bought that picture. He thought that it would be beautiful as a centerpiece above his mantel place upon his fireplace there. And he put it there, and quickly he noticed how beautiful that picture was, even more so now that it's out of the art gallery and in his own home. He had appreciated it even more. But he noticed that the surroundings just weren't up to par for that beautiful picture. He noticed that the curtains were pretty dingy and had to be replaced. He noticed the wallpaper was worn and tattered and had to be replaced with paint. He also noticed that the chair had the stuffing tore out of it. He needed a new chair and he put in new carpet, all because of this one painting. It eventually transformed the entire house. You know what? That's true of Jesus, is it not? Once you make him the centerpiece, everything else will change too. Amen. I want us to read today in the book of Joshua, chapter number 2, just a few verses, something you all are familiar with. But I will ask you to stand with us this morning as we read these verses. Verse 1. Now understand here that Moses has died. Joshua is the leader of the people of Israel, and they're yet to cross the Jordan River, but the first city they'll come to is the city of Jericho, and they're not a people of war, the Israelites are not. They've been 40 years in the wilderness, and they don't have any training. They're basically all a bunch of young people, and they have no training for war whatsoever. And they're concerned, once we get across that river, if we can get across, then what will we do? How will we fight? So Joshua's going to send some spies over to try to find out what's ahead of him here. Verse 1. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Verse 9. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter not this, our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this mine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Father, this morning, we thank you for the word of God that we've got our hands upon and have just read. And we pray, God, you'd help us now by an unction from the Holy Spirit that we might stand and preach the word of God unto this thy people. Lord, I pray you'd touch hearts. I pray you'd change lives. I pray you'd help us, Father, to get a burden. I pray you'd help us to be appreciative. Lord, I pray for someone here who may not be saved. God, I pray you'd touch them. Now, Lord God, I pray you'd help us physically now. Touch us, Father, enable us to stand, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hey, preacher, why you got them glasses on? I've got a terrible headache. Terrible headache. Have trouble reading sometimes. I want us to see here about a young lady named Rahab. She was the one that hung out that scarlet thread, right? So this morning we want to preach on the scarlet thread of redemption. If you would look this way, please. Just in the last few days, someone came to me and folks give me different things. Honey, prayer, just different things. But somebody handed me a bookmark. Now I've had bookmarks before. I've got 4 or 5 different Bibles at home that I study out of, keep them open as I'm running references back and forth, so I don't lose what I had before, and I've got bookmarks all through there, but someone gave me this one. I appreciate it. And as I've looked at my Bible and studied all week long, I continue to see how that the bookmark, just like most bookmarks, are just a little bit too big for my Bible. Got that red line hanging out of it. God began to burden me about the scarlet thread of redemption that runs through the Word of God. I want us to see a young lady by the name of Rahab. I want us to see her condemnation. Understand quickly, you see she was a harlot. You realize that she decided, made the conscious decision, that she would sell her body to men for money. That she would live a depraved and an evil and a wicked lifestyle. Most all of you, if not all of you, have no idea what this kind of lifestyle would be all about. Yet, every one of us in this building today have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. She was no worse, and you are no better than she would ever be. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Just a bunch of wicked, wretched, vile, dirty sinners. You may say, preacher, I really can't believe you'd call me that. I'm calling myself that. Rahab's life was a life of condemnation because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The Bible also says in the Old Testament, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So over her house, there was a death sentence. The same sentence over her used to hang over me. Also for this woman, she lived in the city of Jericho. She didn't just live in the city, but she lived on top of the town wall. It was a city that was slated for destruction. the Israelites are coming through with the power of God on them, and the city's going to fall. And when that city falls, her house that's already doomed because of her sin, her physical house will fall as well. She lives a life of condemnation with a death sentence hanging over her head. I want to read something out of Ephesians chapter 2. You can turn there. You don't have to, but I just want to read one quick verse. I believe this woman was living a helpless and a hopeless life, being dead in her sins. The Bible says in verse number 12, realizing this woman was a Gentile. The Bible says in verse 12 of Ephesians 2, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was Rahab the harlot living a life of condemnation. I want us to see, second of all, Rahab's conviction. Understand, she said down in verses 9 through 11, she in verses 2 through 8, she took those spies that came into her house and she hid them. Realized that was really the only place those spies could go. God led them to the harlot's house. He led them to the harlot's house. You know, there's probably no other place that those strange men could go in without being questioned. But strange men going into the harlot's house would not be questioned whatsoever. It would seem as if it was normal. But I want to say to you, when these two men were led into the harlot's house and went into the harlot's house, they did not find there what you would think they would have found there. That old girl's had a change of heart before they ever got there. Well, why did it call her Rahab the harlot? Well, why did the Bible call Simon the leper? He was a leper. Jesus healed him. And later on he would be at his house, yet he still called him Simon the leper, but he's cured. I'm daring the sinner, but I'm saved.
Amen.
Yeah, maybe you're saved too. Hallelujah. But anyway, God's led them there to the harlot's house. And when they come in there, she begins to speak to them, and she said in verse 11, I believe this was her conviction. She said, as soon as we had heard these things, you know, about what God had done for them, how He'd prospered them and brought them across the Red Sea and 40 years in the wilderness, and I didn't even have to change their shoes or their clothes, what God had done for them. She said, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. That's conviction. That means we're not right with God. God's a holy God, and we're not right with Him. I'll never forget the night my heart melted. The night I sat there, I went to church with my mom and dad because they were trying to get me to go with them. I never will forget it. And went on to church with them there, and when the preacher preached, I wasn't looking to get saved. I was looking to get mom and dad off my back. But something happened in that meeting. The man of God plowed the Word of God deep into my heart, and the Holy Spirit found a lodging place there and convicted me. Boy, I'll never forget, my heart melted. It was trembling and shaking, and boy, it was all tore all to pieces. I ran down there to that altar when they gave an invitation. At first I didn't go. I held the back of the pew. I wanted to go, but I was afraid to go. I wanted to get right with God. I knew I was lost at that point. I knew I needed to make a change in my life. But I was afraid of what all them people might think about me there. But it got so bad. My heart melted so much that it didn't matter anymore what people thought. It started to matter to me what He thought. I ran to that altar that night under conviction. I'm telling you, there is a point, y'all, where you just get tired of sin. It just makes you sick. She'd been living a life as a harlot of wickedness, and I believe she just got tired of the vileness and the lewdness of sin. She wanted something better. She got under conviction. Her heart melted. It also melted because she knew that they were going to come and overthrow her people, and she would die amongst them. That's Rahab's conviction. I want to think about Rahab's conversion. I wonder if she was not saved before the two spies ever got there. Preacher, I ain't never heard a preacher spin it this way. No, but if you'll think about something according to the Word of God, God, I would not believe, would head his two spies into the harlot's house for the wrong reason. Right. If they're being led of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Rahab's not the girl she used to be. I believe she's been saved before they ever got there. In other words, God directed them to the harlot's house according to what the world saw. But according to what God saw, there was a girl there that was had a change and was in need to hear a little further. Now watch here. Preacher, I ain't getting it. Well, what's down here in verse number 9? She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She called him Lord. That's a word that a saved man or woman would call him. She called him Lord. They ain't preached to her. I believe she is already saved. She had heard for 40 years what God had done for them in the wilderness. And she had lived that lifestyle for maybe that long. And I believe she had got saved. Watch here. Keep going. Said verse number 10. We heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Look down at verse 11. As soon as we heard these things, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Our hearts didn't melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. That don't sound like the testimony of a lost person. Yeah, but preachers, the Bible says she was a harlot. It wouldn't have called her that if she is already saved. I told you about Simon the leper. What about Hebrews chapter 11? I'm trying to get you over something so I can preach to you. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 31. I mean, she's got a tremendous statement of faith, don't she? A tremendous testimony. In fact, her testimony may be greater than what you've told. And she got saved. Watch here in Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, are you with me? I'm going to wait on you. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. What the New Testament call her? The harlot Rahab. Even though, well, preacher, I think she's still practicing it. Would you let God clear something up for you? He saved her. And her old life was done away with. When them men went in there, they expected to find the house of a harlot. But she's not the girl she used to be. And I want to say, praise be unto God, a lot of you girls is not what you used to be. A lot of you men's not what you used to be. He's made a change in your life because He brought you under old-time conviction. And then He brought you to old-time conversion. And you got glorious saved. Ain't you glad you received Jesus into your heart? Amen. Now, when she hit those spies, she shows her faith by her works. Hey, a faith without works is dead, being alone. Amen. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 2. We want to study a little bit more here. We've seen her condemnation. We've seen her conviction. I believe we've seen her conversion. I want you to look forthly at her concern. She says in verse number 12, Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Here's a young lady that's concerned for her family. She has a love for others and wants to see them converted as she was converted. Oh, I tell you, there's something about salvation that'll make you want to tell somebody else so they'll get saved. It makes you want to love people. Remember Brother Compton came up and he was singing up here one night and he told a story about that old man who sat in the church there and looked around and hated all them people he was with. He hated the preacher. He hated the singers. He hated the people seated around him. He was uncomfortable and he felt awkward. He did not want to be there. But when the Word of God was preached to him, he recognized he didn't have something that he needed. And he ran up there to that altar And he bowed there and he prayed. And he said when he stood up, he thought God had saved everybody else. Because he loved them. It wasn't everybody else that he saved. He had saved him. And when you get really saved, you'll love other people. You won't feel awkward in the house of God. You'll say, oh, what a wonderful place this is. But when you're lost, you'll say, oh, how dreadful is this place. Will that preacher not quit? Will them people not quit praying? Oh, I'll tell you what, there's something about being in the house of God. Rahab here, she has concern for her family. And she said, listen, save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, deliver our lives from death. So the spy said, you know what? We got to get out of town. And she takes a scarlet cord and she drops it from her window out of the town wall where she lives. She drops it out. And she said, will you deliver my family? And those spies climb down that scarlet thread. And they look back up. Well, what will you read with me? Bible says, verse 15, she led them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. Verse 18, those men looked back up and said, behold, when we come in the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. She had displayed a scarlet thread. They went down that scarlet cord and looked back up and said, if this scarlet cord that we came back down by is still here when we get back, anybody in this house will be delivered. That's my promise. And that's when it hit me. There's a scarlet cord, a scarlet thread that runs all through the Word of God. Adam and Eve, God created them. And they fell in sin, did they not? And they saw they were naked, and they went and got fig leaves and tried to cover their nakedness. But God came walking in the cool of the day. And He said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, well, we've hid ourselves because we were naked. And you realize what God did for them in Genesis chapter 3? The Bible says He took animal skins and He clothed them. For him to get animal skins, He had to take the animal's life. In other words, there had to be shed blood. That blood was shed, not just for their physical covering. No. So they'd have animal skins. But that blood was shed that Adam and Eve sinned would be washed away. It's by the blood, y'all. That's the scarlet cord that runs through the Bible. Amen. Salvation is by the blood. And He said, I'll wipe away your sins, Adam and Eve, by the blood. I expect a blood sacrifice. There came the day where Abel, their son in Cain, their other son came to present sacrifice before the Lord. And the Bible says that Abel, he brought a firstling of the flock. One that was without spot, without blemish. And he brings that little lamb down there. And he cuts its throat and sheds its blood upon that altar there. And Abel was received. When Cain came, he was a tiller of the ground. He brought ears of corn and green beans and potatoes that need to be mashed. And all these good things he brought up there. And God said, I reject that offering. It's not by works. No. Not by the works of your hands. It's by the blood. Right. Adam and Eve, right. Your mom and daddy told you about this. Yes, and he said, if you do well, you'll be received. Amen. But you can't come any other way, y'all. Right. I don't care how much money you put in the plate today. Right. It won't save you. Amen. I don't care if your mom or your daddy's a good person. It won't save you. Right. I don't care if you come to church and sit on a pew. That won't save you. Right. What will save you is that you placed your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, believing that He died on the cross and the third day He rose again. It takes the blood, and it's all woven through the Bible. Preacher, I've heard all this, and I don't like the blood. Let me tell you something. They're trying to take the blood out of our church hymn books. They're trying to take the blood out of our churches, out of our preaching, out of translations. They want to take the blood out. They don't like it. But it's the only thing that'll save you. Why do you think the devil fights it so hard? Cain would eventually go on out of jealous rage and envy. He would go on to kill his brother. God knew about it. When Noah got on board the boat after the flood had happened. Do you know when he got off the boat a year and what, 10 days later? You know what the first thing he did was? He got down and he took those birds and he shed their blood. and offered sacrifice there. Yes, he shed blood to offer sacrifice and thanksgiving. It was by the blood, amen. Do you realize there when Israel was in bondage and they were going to be released to head out of the bondage of Egypt, God told him, said, I want you to take a lamb and I want you to shed his blood. And I want you to put his blood upon the doorpost, each side, and upon the lintel. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Some of you may have been in that congregation and said, I don't believe that. I don't like the gore. I don't like the blood. I don't like the preaching of that. I don't like what he's telling me. I'm not going to put that blood on my doorpost. That's gross. That night when the death angel came, if you hadn't come by the blood, your firstborn would die that night. I want to tell you what, y'all. I want to put that blood on the doorpost. You see, if that scarlet thread that's woven all through the Word of God. I get to thinking about there in the book of John, New Testament now. John the Baptist without baptizing. He looked up and he seen one named Jesus heading that direction. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He knew right there, there had come the Lamb who had come to shed his blood that you and I might be saved. How fitting. Think about this. How fitting. When they took a scarlet robe. Look it up in the book of Matthew chapter 26 or 27. They took a scarlet robe and placed it upon him. Scarlet. He's going to shed his blood for the sins of the world. And you and I know in Revelations 1:5 it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I believe when Rahab let those spies down and they said, if you'll leave this scarlet cord, this scarlet thread, if you'll leave it down, you'll be spared. And anybody in your house will be spared. I believe she knew. By faith, she'd better do what God said do. And that right there is another scarlet thread that points to the blood. The blood is going to allow her to be delivered. We see there her concern for her family. Now I want us to see her completion. Over here in chapter number 6, her completion. Rahab's going to have to show her family. How's she going to get her family up there? She's not had a good testimony with them. She's been a harlot. And even though she's been converted, they're not going to believe her at her word. She's going to have to show some changes. I believe her countenance had changed. I believe when you looked at Rahab's face, she glowed. Not like she'd ever done before. Why? Because God had made a change in her life. I think she's going to have to change her character. I think she's going to have to show them she's not talking that old dirty, filthy talk she used to talk. She's talking with a new conversation. I think that the Rahab the harlot, she would be scantily clothed. But now she's dressed modestly. She's got a change of clothing, change of attire. She's got a change in commitment. She used to care about the things of this world, but now she cares about God and she's caring about her family. She's got a change of citizenship. She's been a citizen of Jericho, of this world. But now that she's saved, she's a citizen of glory, amen. And she's getting ready to leave that old place of Jericho. The walls are going to fall, and she's going to come out of there. She's not going to get the judgment of the world. She's a saved girl. Hallelujah. I believe, my friends, that you'll see these changes in her life. And in chapter number 6, verse 22, realize, children of Israel marched around that city 6 days, one time each day. And on the seventh day, 7 times around, and blew that ram's horn. And when they blew that ram's horn and said, praise be to God, all the walls in the city fell. Just whoop, fell to the floor, fell to the ground. Except for one little place where Rahab the harlot's house was. It stayed standing. In verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, comma, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Somehow, when she put that scarlet thread out, she had went and testified to every one of her family members, and every one of them believed her message. And they was all delivered. I got family members that's lost. You got family members that's lost. And you may sit here today like you're not. In fact, they may be sitting beside you in your service. And you know God needs to save them. What are you going to do? You've got to live the godly life that Rahab the harlot had made a change for after her conversion. To be a testimony to her whole family. To make them want and believe what she had. And I'm going to tell you what, she got them all. And God delivered. Listen, there's not one person that's ever been saved that he'll send to hell. He delivers all that's come by the blood. Amen. Glory to God for that. Preacher, you realize that this woman, Rahab, in Matthew chapter 1, you go there with me. Matthew chapter 1. She's gone and get married. She married a respectable man by the name of Salmon. And in fact, they were going to have a child, and his name is going to be Boaz. And he's going to be the kinsman redeemer for a woman by the name of Ruth. You realize that Rahab the harlot, by hanging out, glory to God, that scarlet thread of redemption, was foreshadowing a lot of things. But according to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse number 5, she is in the very lineage of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Born of a virgin he was, amen. And Rahab is in that lineage. A harlot, one that got saved, hallelujah. Ain't you glad for that? I want to ask you today, when you get to heaven, you get there. Oh, what is this today? You're getting ready to die. You're getting ready to leave. No, I'm not a preacher. You don't know that. He's going to say, why should I let you into heaven? Well, I went to church on December the 3rd with my dad or with my mom. I went to church on December the 3rd and I heard that preacher preach. And he preached till just after 12 o'clock and I didn't fidget too much. I put $5 in the plate when it passed me. And I think you ought to let me in heaven because of that. No, he'll say that don't work. The message my preacher preached to you was, you must come by the blood of my son. They, some of you as Christians, you're living less than the Christian life you ought to be living. You ought to conduct yourself as godly as you know how, but that's not how it is. You want to see your family saved? Go ahead and make that complete change you ought to make rather than keep backsliding, falling back. I'm telling you today, there's some of us ought to be concerned. John Wesley, you know, he was a great evangelist. He's on his way home one night after preaching, and these two men jumped out and robbed him. And he looked to him and he said, no, it's just one fellow. This one fellow jumped out and robbed him. He looked to him as a man, the preacher didn't have much money. He just had a few pamphlets on him, you know, about Scripture. And the man got what little money he had, started to leave, and Preacher Wesley said, hey, wait a minute. Maybe one of these days, you didn't get everything I've got. He said, what do you mean? He said, I got a little more. He said, one of these days, you're going to get sick of this life of sin. Lying and cheating and robbing and stealing. Playing the fool. And I want to tell you about one who's able to save your soul and forgive your sin. And he began to share with him about Jesus right there. He said, the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. And that man got mad and rode off into the sunset. Years later, in a little old campground, where John Wesley was sharing the gospel, a noted businessman walked up to him and said, preacher, I'm that man that robbed you. And I'm that man that got under conviction. And I'm that man that got converted. And I'm that man that heard the words, the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. And preacher, I just want to tell you today, that message changed my life right in the middle of a robbery. And he's saved today. I want to tell you what, the blood of Jesus will make the difference if you'll claim it, if you'll proclaim it. Hey, some of you in this building today, boy, you're saved. Boy, you're saved. Praise God. But that scarlet thread of redemption, you're just about ready to pull it back in the window and say, my family ain't going to get saved. They're not going to make a change. I'm going to give up. Not Rahab. She said, I'm going to work a little harder. I'm going to pray a little more. I'm going to beg and plead with them. I'm going to show them that Jesus has made a difference in my life. And she got her whole family in. What do you have in this world as far as family members are concerned? Grandmas, grandpas, moms, dads, uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces, cousins. You can win them all to Jesus if you'd hang out that scarlet thread of redemption and live by it. It's woven all through the pages of the Word of God. And this morning, it's woven right through my heart. He's made the difference. You stand with me this morning. It's what God's laid on my heart. Someone come to the instruments this morning, you play. On those instruments, what God lays on your heart. I'm believing this morning there's somebody, praise God for you, sister. You need to come to this altar. I'm persuaded that. You need to come to this altar and say, preacher, I'm going to put that scarlet line, that scarlet cord, that scarlet thread of redemption out. My Savior's hung it out that I might be saved. And I want my family to be saved. I'm so concerned. And I'm so unworthy. But here I come, preacher. Here I come, preacher, to pray. Hey, I wonder. Hey, somebody in the sound of my voice, you've not been saved. Oh, you want to be saved. Preacher, I don't know just how. When the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart, you know that you need to come to this altar. I tell you what, I'll come down and meet with you. I'll take this microphone off, and I'll pray right with you. Nobody else will know what's going on, just you and God. Would you come this morning? Would you mind Him what He says to do? Maybe there's somebody here say, preacher, I got family members. They're in trouble. And I've been hanging out that scarlet line of redemption. Preacher, the devil says for me just to give up and to quit. You need to come to this altar and say, God, would you strengthen me? God, would you sustain me? God, would you give me the faith to keep it on? God, I want to serve you with all my heart. Who'll come to this altar today and say, God, we need that for our family. Somebody's got to stand in your family. Rahab the harlot wasn't the man of the house, but she was willing to get on her knees and bow at the very presence of Christ. Get saved. God this morning.